Francis, research out of the United States and more recently closer to home from Newcastle has cast some doubts about people eating eggs that are homegrown. Is this something we should be concerned about here in Broken Hill?
I think it's something we need to keep in mind. It certainly made me think I need to review my own chickens' accommodation. Basically, what they found was that it looked as though the biggest risk was chickens accidentally eating lead-based paint where it's flaked off the building. So they're recommending that chicken houses should be at least 2 metres away from anything that was painted with pre-1970s paint, so houses or fences. I know a lot of old fences around Broken Hill are painted, or old sheds and so on. Their recommendation is that you have them in a run. I guess you could still have them free range, but just make sure they're more than a couple of metres away from a house or a fence or something that where they could pick up paint chips.
The study has shown that there were several times the amount of lead compared in free range eggs from homes to those that are store bought. Were you surprised by the difference in terms of it being several times higher?
No, not really, because if they're eating lead-based paint, that's the best way of getting yourself a high blood lead level. So I can see how it would work really effectively for chickens too.
And elevated lead levels in eggs, they pose a particular risk to children under 5 and pregnant women.
Kids under 5 are most at risk from lead because they're better able to absorb lead than an adult and they're less able to get it out of their body. And their central nervous system is still developing, so it's very susceptible to the effects of lead. And the problem with pregnant women is that they're carrying a baby and the lead can cross from the mother's blood into the fetus. So it would be a concern if you were a young child or pregnant and you were eating a lot of homegrown eggs and your chickens were exposed to a lot of lead.
If we should have concerns regarding the level of lead in our eggs, do we necessarily need to be concerned about lead levels in other items that we may be growing in our backyards?
It's always worth being careful. The lead program meant here many years ago looked at lead levels in homegrown vegetables, and they were all okay apart from two. And one was silver beet and the other one was parsley. And the issue seems to be with things that have really deep crinkly leaves, and it's dust getting deposited on them that causes the problem. So the recommendation is you really scrub your vegetables very well. The other things you can do are when most vegetables, when they accumulate lead, they accumulate it in the root hairs. So if you're, you know, like root vegetables like carrots and potatoes or something, scrub them really well and maybe you peel them. Grow them, preferably grow them in clean soil. So when the lead program was testing the soil from the landscape suppliers, that was always fine. So preferably, yeah, grow them in clean soil and make sure you wash them well before you eat them. Oh, I guess the other thing is being careful of rainwater, because if you've got an old tank and you've got lead-based paint on the roof, or if you don't have some sort of filtration system, when you get rain after you've had a dry and dusty period, you're going to get a lot of lead washed into the roof, into the tank rather, and then that would be a potential issue. So that's why the lead program recommends that we don't drink tank water.
If I'd been running chooks in my backyard for the last 10 or 20 years and eating the eggs that they had been producing, should I be concerned, or what steps should I take now?
As an adult, I don't think I'd be too worried. What I would do is review the chickens' accommodation, which is what I think I'm going to be doing with mine, and looking at making sure that they've got clean soil, because the soil where my guys are is pretty old. If they were close to something that's shedding lead-based paint, I'd move them. As an adult, I don't think you'd need to be too concerned.
If someone is concerned, though, where could they go for some help or guidance?
I guess they could go talk to the lead program. If they were really concerned, they could organise a blood lead test through their doctor.
We certainly don't want to talk down the self-sustainability message, because it's important for people to get out and do those things. But by the same token, it is very important that we do things the right way and take heed of advice like this when it comes along.
The main message that I got out of this is that probably it's the paint and the old paint issue that's the biggest risk. So definitely try and make sure they're not really close to the house, and not close to anything else that would have had or might have had lead-based paint on it.
Late last year, we heard about the blood lead level guidance of 10 milligrams per decilitre being out of date here in Australia. Has there been any developments in that area or any other developments locally here in Broken Hill that people should be aware of at the moment?
No, the National Health and Medical Research Council are looking at the evidence and planning to have something out, I gather, late this year or maybe early next year. So I think in the meantime, it's just, you know, business as usual, getting your kids to have a blood lead test if they haven't had one, and keeping on with the usual things about wet mopping and wet wiping, and just sort of trying to control dust where you can, and trying to make sure the kids get adequate amount of iron and calcium in their diet, because that seems to reduce absorption, and eating breakfast too, which can be really hard to get kids to do, but that seems to help reduce absorption. It's apparently harder to absorb lead on a full stomach.
And generally speaking, do you feel that there is enough community awareness around the lead levels? Because, as we've just mentioned, the guideline of 10 milligrams here in Australia is considered out of date by some people. The US have halved that to 5. In Germany, they've gone further to 3.5, and that's going back some 4 years. So you're talking a time frame of perhaps the end of this year or early next year at the earliest. Is that an appropriate response?
I can understand the NHMRC wanting to consider all the evidence carefully, and maybe they're thinking about practical things that can be done as well to reduce blood lead levels. I do think we need to be more concerned about it than we are. And I guess the tricky thing is figuring out what to do. Like, it's one thing to be concerned about it and raise an issue. It's a whole other thing to actually figure out what you can practically do about it, and especially in a place like Broken Hill where lead is fairly widespread because of those old smelters that we had for the first 15 or so years, and like, they've been gone for over 100 years, but they've left us with a legacy. So trying to figure out how to go about cleaning more of that up is a challenge, and especially when, you know, the government's talking about budgets and deficits and money seems to be desperately tight. I think local residents need to be doing what they can, and I also think organisations like the uni department here, for example, and the council and the health service need to be advocating for funding and to sort of identify and clean up remaining hotspots and that sort of stuff. Our blood lead levels are way better than they were 20 years ago, and I can see how it would be easy for an agency to say, okay, things are going along, it's much better than it used to be, there's a million other problems we've got to deal with, we don't need to look too hard at lead in Broken Hill because it's getting under control. I think all this talk about reducing the blood lead guideline actually gives Broken Hill an opportunity to make a really strong case to get funding to deal with some more areas that need to be dealt with, because we'll go from having about 10, 12, 15% of kids above the guideline to having about half of them above the guideline, and that gives you much more political clout to go and be saying, oi, we need something more active in town. So I'm actually hopeful that it's an opportunity.
So certainly you'd like to see more being done, and when you give us figures along those lines, as you say, that should be some alarm bells that should be going off somewhere.
I suspect they might be beginning to be, yeah. And, you know, we'd be somewhere like Port Pirie would be in the same situation. Mount Isa maybe a little bit less so. So I'm hopeful that we will manage to get something more done.